she started climbing up to being on our top frag, and I was like, no, this is not fair. I've been playing this for so long. Why am I the bottom? Pro League, the lobby. Welcome to another week of
The Lobby!
I'm Danny G, and we've got a lot to unpack this week. Let's just start with who we're going to be speaking to this week. So we've got Jojo, Juppy, Affinity, and we've got Kale. It's much easier if we do gamertag names. What was I? Dreaming G?
Dreaming G, yeah.
Or something like that.
That's quite a nice name.
Your debut single.
Oh, stop.
No, now available on Spotify, by the way.
I do feel like we should actually just introduce ourselves because all the names and everything, like Maisie. Oh, you're Maisie.
I'm Maisie.
Kale. And Affinity.
Yeah, I'm Affinity or Lena.
I'm Ace Anvil or Jonah, but Danny calls me by my OG gamer tag Jojo Juppy from about 2002.
Yeah, when you see our Jojo Juppy about, make sure you use his original gamer tag.
Please don't.
Yeah,
please don't.
He's going to get it on all the lower thirds.
Yeah, he loves it. Right, we've got a lot to unpack though. So we've had, let me get this straight, we've had the final of F125 in the BFBS Pro League.
Yes, yep. The final race, yeah.
We are also going to be speaking to the winner.
Indeed. Very excited. Very excited.
We're going to be talking about the next splits. We've got two more games to talk about. And we've also got a studio guest. We've got Kale over here.
Hello.
Maisie Cochran Edwards. I do know your name.
Welcome to studio.
Hey. And thanks for coming in IRL.
I know. All the way from Lossiemouth.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. That is quite a trek.
But for a disclaimer, you were down here for other things.
I was, yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about, like I said, a lot to unpack. Let's talk about Monday's race. Where were we?
We were in Monza, Italia. Wee, pizza pasta.
We should not have cameras on Jonah.
I'll just cut away from him every time he starts speaking. Don't worry, Danny.
That's really rude, actually. So Monza, Italy. A very simple circuit, I'd like to say. Probably our guest, who you're going to hear from shortly, might disagree with me. However, very short track, meaning that people are quite tightly packed, actually, on the grid, and we had a little bit of a less of a turnout, maybe because our winner decided that he wanted to win last week rather than this week, meaning that people were just like, well,
there's no point.
Also, the hot weather. I mean, I wouldn't want to be trying to get out of a sim rig after a race like that.
No, it was way too hot. The casters were literally visibly dripping with sweat after the cast.
Like, sexy.
It was about.
Oh, it was not Danny. I can confirm
noted. We know what Danny's into now.
Oh no!
Two different reactions.
Sweaty casters. but no, it was an awesome race. Despite having, I think we had seven drivers on the grid. But yeah, I believe we've got some highlights.
Well, what do you mean you believe?
We
do have some highlights.
I made them actually.
Sir, hit that tape. Go!
And also getting past Hog Devil Dog as well, who's going slowly out of turn two. Kers Quara gonna have a go around Curva Grande. It's Sebastian Vettel.
Oh, he's boxed in!
By Hog Devil Dog, really putting his elbows out. Hog Devil Dog's going to go into the and Hog Devil Dog does it into the chicane. Kers Quara able to get past Chewie as Chewie was slow out of the chicane there. Chewie with a moment to forget, but Hog Devil Dog, we can see what happened here, goes around Curva Grande and just hits into him. Edward Fleming is going to come back. They're tight. It's going into turn one. Edward Fleming.
Ooh, big lock up and he's gone deep.
Into the runoff. He's going to have to give that position back to Proven because he overtook outside of the track limits. He gives it back.
For the final time in 2026, he's won in Silverstone and he takes the win on the final race of the season. Proven wins in Monza.
Sorry, I just heard that. Proven. I can't even physically make a popping sound. Who's doing it? You.
Proven.
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 You're going to have to help me out there. That sounded like electrifying, right? But what? Dog, hog, devil, hog, devil, dog.
Hog, devil, dog.
Every week you've pointed this out.
This is my champion. This is who I've been rooting for. A little bit of an underdog because love the guy to pieces.
No, he's a hot dog.
He's not likely to win. But he's just been an absolute chaos agent the whole time. He was the player that said, you know, remember a couple of weeks back, I've just done a test lap round and I won't be taking prisoners, not on purpose.
Yes.
That's Hog Devil Dog.
Hot Diggly Devil Dog.
Oh,
is on it.
I'm going to keep, if you asked me to keep saying that gamer tag, it would be wrong every single time. But yeah, it sounds electrifying. And obviously, I mean, can we do it now or do we have to wait? I'm sorry, I'm just really excited. Next split.
Next split, yeah.
Just quickly.
Well, first of all, Proven came second in the championship overall. Yep. Obviously, we're speaking to our winner momentarily. But yeah, so second split, we're saying goodbye to F125. Big sad.
And saying hello to
League of Legends and Rocket League.
This is Rocket League. And we will delve into that obviously in a little bit. But I can't believe it. So you say obviously, you know, we had this race on Monday, but it was the previous week where you crowned a winner.
Yes.
Who was it?
It was the one, the only, Phoenix.
Oh, okay. So that I can say and I won't get wrong.
No, you won't get it wrong other than...
Don't jinx it.
Devilly dig hot dog.
what does his mother call him?
I actually can't remember.
Well, shall I say hello to Harry then? Have we got Harry on the podcast? Harry, welcome to...
The Lobby! Hi, everyone.
Sorry, Harry.
Hi. Sorry, I don't know if you heard that. What does your mother call you?
She does call me Harry and Harold when I've been naughty.
Oh, Harold. Ooh. Okay, well, none of that here. Don't you worry. Thanks for sharing. Congratulations. What was it like to win?
Oh, it was great. It was honestly been a great season. Really good fun. Especially with all the lads. I think it was mentioned earlier in one of the previous podcasts about what it's like to, you know, be in voice comms with another driver, and it's exactly what you'd expect. There's a lot of effing and blinding. It's actually funny to watch when you're not involved in it.
I said, and I'm sure you heard, I said we need proximity chat in the next season. If we don't, I might actually cry. But just hearing everyone go past, like, get out my way! Just driving through.
Excuse me, sir.
I beg your pardon. Driving through, yeah, it'd be great. So tell me as well, so this isn't the first competition you've won, Phoenix, is it?
No. I've actually had a good F125 game. Maybe some of the previous titles. I don't know if I've won as much this year as I did the previous years. Obviously, I've got two inter-service titles from 2023 and 2022, I want to say, and the WMEL from 2024 or 2025.
Yeah. So is there any prospect to take this further now that obviously you've said you're leaving the military in just under a month? Is there any prospect to take this outside of the military and try and explore a little bit further?
So obviously I do take part in a couple of civvy leagues. I wouldn't take it towards the top end leagues, which is your PSGL and WOR, which is like the two top tier sort of leagues. And then they've got about 11 tiers in them anyway. I wouldn't go that far. I don't think I've got the pace to compete at that stage. But I'm happy taking part in the civvy leagues at the moment. The level they're at is pretty much where I'm at. Yeah, I know it looks like I should win every race, but it's very much not the case. In civvy leagues, I'll be, you know, like 10th or even further back than that.
Well, I mean, look, Harry, congratulations again. Of course, we talk about the BFBS Pro League. It's the esports competition for the military, their families, the community. And even though you're leaving, obviously, it doesn't mean that you're going anywhere. You can still play again next year. But whilst you're still in, who are you repping for?
Well, I'm in the Royal Engineers at the moment.
Nice.
And yeah, repping for them. But any of the boys, really, not Proven, for example. I've been trying to help him along. In his race strategies, for example, on Monday, I tried to help him the right race strategy. I think it worked. And the same with Stevie as well.
Well, I think the results showed that. Yeah.
And were you helping a fellow armyman, though? That's my question. Is it army?
Armyman?
During the whole season, I would, you know, strategies and whatnot. But during the race, no, it was pure 1v1, v1v1. As I said about the Discord calls, about everyone going at each other during it. That's pretty much what happened.
Well, it's nice to hear that Army came out on top, though.
Again, second time this week. Just
God, it's going to go to his head.
No, to be fair, that's one thing I'll give you. You don't sound cocky at all. You sound really chill.
I meant Jonah, but...
Oh! All
right. That's rude. But no, well...
Yes, I saw the code bowl win.
Yes, exactly. Oh, no. We can talk about that a little bit more later.
Harry, Harold, Phoenix, congratulations and thanks for coming on.
So, cheers, guys, for having me.
Oh, he was lovely, but I feel really bad for calling him Harold at the end. Poor Harold. He said only his mother could call him that when he's in trouble.
You know, I always called me Dobby when I was naughty. You know Dobby, you know the Dobby the house elf, so you just smack his head against him.
You really don't help yourself amongst workmates, do you, really?
I think that explains a lot about you as a person.
Why I'm so brain damaged because I'm smacking my head against the
wall. You're just very memeifiable. You know?
Yeah. Memeifiable.
Every time you talk.
Right, Dobby, and of course our lovely Affinity here. I know it's really busy at the moment. What have you guys got your eye on in terms of the events that are happening, you know, UK-wide, overseas? You've been to some stuff recently as well.
I have. Do you want to talk about where we've been this weekend?
I will, because I bought the tickets.
straight, honey,
no,
yes.
It was a present, it was a present. We went to VCT Masters London, which is a giant Tier 1 Valorant event. Amazing. We're very lucky it was being held pretty much on our doorstep. Valorant being a first-person shooter tactical game, a bit like, you know, your Counter-Strikes, but if it was sort of anime-style artwork. Yeah, really big event, had an amazing time. We watched the underdog team that no one thought was going to win take the trophy.
Mentioning Hot Dog again. Sorry to cut you off. Hot Dog, Devil Dog.
I'm going to try and avoid the word dog at all costs now. And yeah, it was amazing when all five maps really got our money's worth there. I spent an egregious amount of money in the artist ad. We've got a new poster for the background of the lobby when it's framed as well.
Yeah, we got that sorted.
Had a great time.
It was awesome. I mean, as well as a community, after the matches, the final finished, everyone went outside. And as a sort of UK Valorant scene community, mm-hmm. It was so nice seeing so many old faces and friends that you haven't seen in so long. Yeah. Like, honestly, people that I'd served with as well that are now veterans and, you know, really big in the scene. Like, it was so lovely. It was such a good event.
I'm so jealous.
And such a humble win for Leviathan.
Leviathan.
but the winner as well, called Neon, who won the match, man of the match,
MVP,
was literally bawling his eyes out. He just turned 18 and is his first ever major competition.
The whole crowd started chanting his name. He lost it again. It was so sweet.
And his dad was there as well.
And the behind-the-scenes team were rooting for this team as well, because it's something you see with a lot of esports professionals that, you know, that work at the Tier 1, is that all of the new teams, all of the young players are just so happy to be there. And apparently this team were the sweetest, they were the kindest. They were just so enthused to be able to play. So everyone was kind of rooting for them, especially by the end. Like, it'd gone the whole five maps. Everyone just lost it when they won.
It was great.
These kinds of events, I'm just curious, obviously, as somebody who hasn't really been to a
big event.
That would have been a great one.
If I got an extra ticket, I was looking.
Oh, I would love to go and actually see it. Like you said, that sense of community. But just out of curiosity, generally, somebody who's into gaming, and how do you get into that kind of event? Like, I know how you get into the BFBS Pro League. I know who you've got to be and where to go. But these kinds of events, do you have to have been doing this for years? Is it who you know?
No.
Is it money? You know, do you have to be a certain age?
Definitely
Ticket
a factor.
Yeah.
Money's definitely a factor, but the problem we have at the moment is scalpers.
Yes.
So people buying tickets on bulk and then, you know, reselling them for a much higher price than what they originally paid for.
Not esports exclusive problem, though.
No.
I mean, like, in terms of actually, you were on about that young lad. Thank you.
You don't need a lot of money. There is an entry fee on a lot of competitions, but you essentially build a team, get good enough, and then you can go
to qualifiers.
I thought
you meant actually, like, attending as a spectator, even as a player.
No! You just told me how you got there. So we know who got the tickets.
So for Masters, for example, there's a series of qualifiers that you have to play in, and only the top two teams from each region are able to go through to the Masters. Then the Masters compiles into the Champs, which is towards the end of the year. This year it's in Shanghai, and Champs is where it's the global top team of the year is crowned, basically.
So a little bit like the way you were just describing that, I was thinking about like grassroots football when you play for your local
Okay. But it's up to the game developers and publishers to sort of generate that format. So every game's slightly different on how they do it. But Valorant has a very simple way of doing it. But they change it every year, which is also the thing that makes it more complicated.
Yeah.
But we were talking actually about this. They've announced the changes for the next year, which is they're changing the regions and things like that. So
it's a lot more open circuit, which means there's going to be a lot more teams that, like,
hungry,
you know,
for it.
Tom, Steve, Harry in their garage playing on LAN actually have a chance to qualify for stuff.
Grassroots, as we call it, esports have a much bigger opportunity to get to the very top of their game in the coming year. So we're very excited, very excited.
And when you were talking, Affinity, about Valorant, why is it quite a special game for you?
I love Valorant. Valorant sort of before I came into this job, and I sold it on the side, was the game that I was doing a lot of freelance commentating for. And it's been a large part of my life has been the women's Valorant scene, the women's sort of Counter-Strike scene. And so, yeah, it's getting to talk about stuff like this always makes me elated because, yeah, I just love it. Women's Valorant has been my life for pretty much the past 4 years.
Explain to anybody who doesn't know much about Valorant then, about the women's community, the women's side of it.
Yeah, so the women's community is, so it depends on the region. Sometimes it's women and non-binary people, or sometimes it's just women. And it's tournaments that are meant to give a safe space for women to compete, to be able to have the same competitive opportunities that they, you know, men get a lot more of an easy ride with access to, a safe sort of place to be able to build up the skills that you get from team play in a much more safe environment, but very structured to help try bridge that gap that is, you know, women are 10 years behind. You know, you speak to a lot of people my age, they're like, oh yeah, my brother got me into gaming when I was, you know, 10, when I was 8. I only got into gaming as a woman like a lot later because it's sort of heavily disenfranchised, just within the community sometimes, within as well, just how, you know, like you see all the time with like the toys that are catered towards boys versus girls.
Well, yeah, you were saying about, is it the character in Valorant and how it appeals much more to women?
Yes. They have amazing diversity. Kale will agree with me here, is that Riot Games are so good with having representation of, you know, women, having representation of different sexualities, different disabilities, different races, which makes it a lot more appealing to get into the game than, you know, certain games where, you know, all of the characters are just white men, is that you can see somebody that you identify with. And they've been pushing diversity from the start. They had a women's league really early into releasing the game. Yeah. They are a lot, they crack down a lot harder on people being, you know, misogynistic and racist in their in-game chats. So it really fosters a much better community. So it's one of those games that I actually feel a lot more comfortable, you know, talking in the in-game chat.
Yeah, I think also we've got like the men as well.
Oh, here we go. No, we were just about to
us men.
Just about to embark on a proper girls chat. And Jenna goes, speaking of men.
No, but I think the men have also fostered the same sort of attitude towards it, where any misogynistic language and things like that is straight shut down by guys as equally as much as girls now.
I've had that.
And we have a lot of that's why the UK Valorant scene, especially, you know, as I know it, is so welcoming to anyone, because and there's no place for any toxicity. It doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, you're welcome. So it's really such a beautiful environment that Riot have really sort of established. So
that's really big, lovely, Jonah.
Big happy on that one.
No, it's good. One of my first games back on Valorant, I played it ages ago, came back to it and I spoke and someone went, oh, girl. And then three other men went, oh, don't be a weirdo.
I'm pretty sure that's probably not the word they... Well, obviously,
bullied is wrong. They picked on him for the rest of the game because he was being weird. Straight out the bat. And I was like, I love this. I don't even have to defend myself.
It's like the ultimate Uno reverso card.
And they say chivalry's dead.
No. I know.
Shut up, you weirdo.
Exactly.
I love that. I think this is a really nice time for us just to mention that on this week's episode of The Lobby, we are focusing on women in esports, if you haven't already gathered at this.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks,
Jenna.
You go, girlfriend.
I don't know my background. One of my most successful teams was a Game Changers team, so a full female team called Skull Vendetta, who went to Insomnia, and we came third at Insomnia, and that was such a big deal for them. It was their first time playing on stage, and the best photo of me in esports is me and the girls having a team talk just before their first game on stage, and it's still to this day one of my favourite photos. So I have a very, very big passion for Game Changers, and I think it's going a long way.
You watch my casts as well, which I really appreciate when I cast Game Changers, which always adds an extra level of, I know I get a message and I'm like, oh, what have I said that Jonah's found funny?
No, to be fair, you are a huge supporter of women, because even when we first met over a year ago, I don't know whether it's a slight little bit of casual stalking, but you found out a lot about my music from years ago. Like,
yeah,
that's,
I mean,
really nice.
It was mutual stalking, though, Danny. Let's be real here.
You are not.
Was it?
You don't.
I don't know, Danny, was it?
Joe Minji.
Oh, okay. All right. Look, we're going well off track here. Let's talk women in esports, because someone who I think is going to bring a lot to the table is Kale, but also that's the short version. It's Easy Garlic Kale. We have to hear the story again if you missed Kale from last year's on The Lobby. But Maisie Cochran Edwards, why Easy Garlic Kale?
I will condense it from the big version, but essentially, I'm not a vegan. I get accused of being a vegan because I'm pale and to be blunt, gay. So and it's stereotypical that a lot of queer women are also vegan, plus the fact that I look like I've never eaten like any sort of protein in my entire life. And so, yeah, my friends used to call me a vegan. We even went on holiday once with like, we went on a school trip and there was two campuses and they were talking. I didn't hear it. And one guy goes, oh, are you a vegan? And my instant response was, no, I'm just a lesbian.
Iconic.
I know. It's my quote. So,
you got on a t-shirt.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Some merch, some kale merch. And from then on, I was called Maisie, not the vegan. And then it just transpired. I love kale. Like, it's a bit silly how much I like kale. And it just kind of merged into
You looked
that.
At like recipes, didn't you? And you saw did, easy yeah. garlic kale.
Well, I was 00 kale, like 007. Then I lost my password. So it became easy garlic kale because I was like, right, recipe time. But yeah, the short version is I'm not a vegan.
I like that.
It's good. Establish kale, a baseline here.
Not a vegan.
Not a vegan.
Right, okay, we can bullet point it if you want to. So we've got Maisie, a.k.a. Kale, not a vegan, in the RAF. What else would you like to add to that list? Because you also do a lot for RAF Esports,
I
right?
do, yeah. RAF Esports social media. I'm also an engineer for the regiment. Lots of people call me Eddie. That comes from phase one because I lied that my last name was only Edwards because I know what would happen if I told them my name was Cochrane Edwards. Think for yourself. And so I lied straight away off the bat and just said I'm Maisie Edwards. And then at the end when I got told off, someone went, hold on. No, we could have been calling you this the entire time. I was like, yes, but Eddie is stuck now. So
deal with it.
That's all that is.
Playing the long con.
I like know. It. Smart. Thinking ahead.
Most importantly, the founder of...
The Flying Nightingales.
Yes! Woo!
Speaking of female teams, especially Valorant, specifically yes. Valorant at the moment, yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you, obviously bringing it back to the BFBS Pro League, because mm-hmm. that's something we touched on recently, didn't we, guys, about seeing women in the BFBS Pro League. Are we going to see a all-female team?
We are currently cooking, although we are still looking for players. Not Kale. No, not this time. But we are currently cooking because we have five. But I'm included, and I would like to step back in and sort of enable people to play. So we have got five at the moment of a varied range. One of our players is a month old to Valorant.
Oh, sorry, I thought you literally meant a month old then.
She's not.
How would that even work?
No, there is an age cap, right?
Like holding on to each joystick with the yeah.
No, but does that matter in this game, even if you've only played it for a month? I don't mean to obviously take away from the skill of the game, but if you've got the skill...
Yeah, no, she's insane. She's really good. She came out the bat and we, you know, the first few games when you're teaching the controls and everything, and she's an Overwatch player and an Overwatch
player. What's her background?
Yeah, you move a lot. You don't stop, you know, you don't stand still. With Valorant, you stop to aim straight. So she was all over the place to start with. But as soon as she got into the groove, she started climbing up to being on our top frag. And I was like, no, this is not fair. I've been playing this for so long. Why am I the bottom?
I think it really helps as well coming from Overwatch, which is, it's not a tax shooter, but it's a game that's like constantly got action going on. Yeah. Is I know coming over from like Counter-Strike to Valorant, the big thing that people struggle with is that there's just so much noise on the screen. There's mm-hmm. so many colours. So coming from a game that's got that to the extreme, I can imagine she's like, oh, this is nothing. Like, why is my screen so blank?
Yeah, she's still trying to wall ride as Lucio. And I'm like, we can't do that here.
Not yet. Don't give right ideas.
No, I don't. Oh, I wouldn't want one of them. Not after Neo. Neon.
Oh, yeah, not after Neon.
If anyone doesn't know Neon, Neon sprints around the map like an absolute maniac and shoots laser beams out of her hands. So.
Not anymore. No.
Now she sort of just meanders around. Oh,
yeah, <that's laughs>
she makes her way.
Right, well, BFBS Pro League. So far, we've had F125. We're going into the second split, League of Legends and Rocket League. Can you have any crossovers, Jonah, Affinity, you know, in terms of anybody who's played F1? Can they go, well, I want to do League of Legends or whatever it is? Like, you know, or I mean, is it
can.
No? You can only got to stick to one game.
No. I am a jack of all trades, master of none. Yes. I'm not particularly good at any game other than Siege, obviously.
But I can confirm he is not good at Valorant.
Cheers.
I'll reword. So somebody who takes part in F1, for example, can they also then take part if they've got a team for Rocket League?
Yeah, of course.
You can see the same people across these different splits. Yeah, yeah. So, Kale, is it Rocket League, I'm assuming, you got the team for?
No, Valorant.
It is
Valorant,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's our main team. Our group is open to everything. So you can actually come in and just say, I play this. And I'm like, great, make a team and I'll just support you in every way. I just do all your boring paperwork and enable you and then try and push your team out to places because I've established myself as knowing many people. So a lot of what I do is I basically say, come here. If you want a team, let's make a team. I will help you make the team. under this banner and we go. So this is sort of very similar to the BFBS Pro League. You can essentially just come in, make a team, and then we will put you in the Pro League. And we'll
if anyone
get you
doesn't
in the
know, Danny G is gesturing to Overcooked.
Yeah.
Again. Okay. Yeah.
I was just going to ask, do you have anyone who wants to do an Overcooked team?
I'm sure we can find someone.
I'm sure you can find one other person.
We can make it happen. BFBS. We'll organise the tournament.
Yay! Yeah.
Let's do it. I mean, BFBS are open. The Flying Nightingales are veterans, serving personnel of the Army, Navy, RAF. They're also MOD civil servants and family / partners of serving personnel. It's a long list, but I've also started just including BFBS as you. I've slowly seen you guys creeping into my server, and I'm like, welcome in. So BFBS, absolutely.
I need to join.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you as well about. We've really, really just delved into the beauty of the community, the women's community within gaming.
Yes.
But is there anybody for you who works within gaming?
Yes.
We talk a lot about players and casters, obviously, don't we? And
not casters,
like that.
Casters.
No, it's casters because I'm from the Midlands. But anybody, thank you. Anybody who works within gaming that's of
yes
note.
The new CEO of Xbox, Asha Sharma, she's amazing. Ooh. She's come in about less than 150 days ago, I'm guessing. I remember celebrating her 100th day.
Yeah.
About 150 days
ago.
100
days?
It wouldn't normally be, except from she's amazing. So people have like gone, how much have you achieved in 100 days?
Oh,
so
I thought it was like a probation
period.
She's made
period. It infinitely better.
Yeah.
She got handed a steaming pile and has managed to fix yeah. it.
What was
somewhat.
Wrong with Xbox?
Well, imagine it. Put it this way. The last CEO helped PlayStation more than they helped Xbox, in the sense they drove Xbox to the ground, that the war on consoles, because it's an age-old war on consoles. You're either an Xbox or a PlayStation, to the point that it stopped being a war and it just started being an unfair fight because of the last CEO. He raised all the prices. He put everything into AI, basically saying, let's just bin off all our developers. Let's make everything through AI. Let's charge everyone a ridiculous amount of money for a load of rubbish and call it a day. We'll make loads of money. Then they bought up loads of studios and basically spent all of their money, dug themselves a massive hole, and then handed it to her like, okay, bye, and just vanished. And she managed to lower the price of the Game Pass. It's only from $29. I haven't seen the UK price to like $24.
So I've got my monthly. It comes out on the 27th of every month. I get it. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. But she's managed to lower it. It is at the cost of losing Call of Duty, but Call of Duty is like £60. So 2 months the Game Pass is already paid for Call of Duty. Just buy it.
Yeah, just buy it.
My other argument is Call of Duty is such a big game that if you've got an Xbox that's not got a lot of storage, you basically download one game and that's it. So what's the point of Game Pass? So I don't think it's a huge loss, in my personal opinion. The Xbox design, they've tried to do this like sleek, minimalistic thing, but have completely lost the...
The panache.
Well, yes. X in Xbox is X Factor. That's what it came from. And they've just minimalised it down to just this really ugly, boring black box with a little hint of green.
Do you remember when the PlayStation 5 came out at the same time and everyone was making human versions of both of them?
Yeah.
That was a time to be on the internet. That was a time to be alive.
She's got like a boring Xbox to this like interesting looking PlayStation. So she's gone the other way. The logo's back to its nice old green. It's sort of reminiscent of the original with the slight nuance, sharper look. And the new Xbox is apparently going to look a lot more close to the original. Let's go back to what gamers actually want. Before we went downhill is essentially what it is.
Yeah.
I think a quote is, the road that led us here is not going to be the road that leads us out. Essentially, she's like, we're just going a completely different way.
Wise words.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. She was the head of the AI division at Microsoft. So when we heard she was coming over, we were like, oh no, here we go.
Not another one.
Not another one. And the first thing she did is going, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. And I was like, hold on. She was like, as someone who's worked in AI, I think she's realized what the consumer base want. They don't want AI to just make a load of drivel and mass produce and send it out. They want artists and developers to create our games with a bit of love and a bit of passion behind it and then use AI as a tool. And that's what she's seen in her job and translated it to Xbox. And I'm like, that just makes you amazing in my eyes. Because AI is the way we're heading. We can argue as much as if it's good or bad, but that's the way we're going. And she's seen that, but said, you know what, let's still pay our artists. Let's still invest in our stories and then use AI as the tool that it should be. And I'm just like, yes.
You can't take the authentic artist out of AI.
No.
The AI, everything AI has generated is all coming from something that's made from human form.
Exactly.
Right?
So it's just
so you may as well put the smartest thing first and put the artist first.
And if you're not going to invest in artist and you're not going to show off your product in the best way possible, why would people want to buy it?
Yeah, why will I invest in you?
No one likes AI slop.
And I understand its benefits because the way she's explaining it is for the generic things that we have to do, the building blocks, instead of wasting loads of time on that, let our developers invest in our stories and our visuals and our art and let the AI do the building blocks that already exist in pretty much every game. So that will cut out that tedious bit so we can focus more of our funding and our money in the actual game. And I'm like, you know what? That sounds really good to me.
Asha Sharma.
Yes.
We applaud you. Thank you for your service.
Less than 150 days and already I'm like... Queen.
Coming in clutch.
Yeah, and she's
back. I can't wait to see where she's going.
Yeah, the amount of PlayStation players that are like, I might get myself an Xbox because it looks really good.
Also, GTA 6, console first.
True.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's true. There's more exclusives coming to Xbox. They got them back. I think it's Gears of War is back as an Xbox exclusive. And they're looking at some other games as well, which they got rid of.
So obviously a lot of love for, you know, this female CEO of Xbox, but also do I feel a little bit of love of Xbox as well from you?
Yeah. I grew up on Xbox. My brother had an Xbox and, well, he actually had PlayStation for a while and then he went Xbox. There's an iconic photo of me that I have to dig out and it is on a PlayStation, but I had a wired controller and I used to sit next to him and beg to play the game. So he just didn't plug me in. I was like very little. And he would play Lord of the Rings on PlayStation and I'd just sit there and with my like dummy and I'd be like, la 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 la. And that's so I got into gaming when I was a Todd. And then when he got to Xbox, I was finally old enough to be able to play with him. So I went straight into Xbox and I've just never turned away. I couldn't. I was a little bit brand loyal.
You bleed green.
I know, I bleed green.
No, I'm with you. I'm an Xbox girl, to be fair, as well. But you obviously were just talking about the fact that, you know, the female CEO's looking at bringing back some of the classic parts of Xbox that we know and love. One thing, I don't know if you remember it was the black console. Mm-hmm. And it was before wireless controllers. I think I may have mentioned this to you guys before, by the way, Donor Affinity. But when you had to plug them in, mm-hmm. Do you remember how crinkled they got?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
They were kind of nasty.
The cable.
Very nasty.
The cable.
Really bad, like properly crimpled and everything. Like, because you'd roll it around, wouldn't you?
Snapped all the time as well.
Really bad. Is there anybody else, or is that your main?
She's my current sort of queen at the moment. I'm just like, yes, praise Asha. Let's go. I can't wait to see what she does. And she's being very forthcoming as well, because they have to do budget cuts because of the terrible spending from our previous CEO. But she's really forthcoming about why, who's getting what, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's the kind of CEO we want. In an environment that's very money hungry, like gaming, that's cool. And her whole thing is, let's make gaming affordable again. And I'm like, oh, please. I don't want to pay 60 quid for a game I only play twice.
Yeah. Do you think she'll have a part in encouraging, you know, our next generation of women to play games? Do you think she'll have a part in that? It's not just, like you say, it's not just a money thing.
I think she's already doing it, because if you go into comment sections, which can sometimes be quite aggressive, you can kind of get a couple of men that need to go touch some grass coming into the comment section and talking quite rudely about women. You can't see a single one about her. From all of these men, I guarantee you would be on a different kind. And they are all really encouraging. They're all really cool. And I see a shift already changing from the first 100 days, because if you want female representation, you want female representation like her, who go in and do it right straight away.
Do you think it's because they're benefiting from what she's doing?
Probably, a little in a selfish way. But if you want to say, hey, look, women can do it too, you want someone like Asha who goes in and proves that just automatic, like straight off the bat.
All right, well, look, a little bit of a silly one from me. Without any characters that we've from games that we've already mentioned, favourite female character? Go, Jonah. Oh, I know, I didn't actually give you any time to think about that.
No time to think.
It has to be from a video game.
From the gaming world, let's say. Let's not make it too difficult. I just didn't want to talk about Valorant.
It's got to be the obvious Lara Croft.
Yeah!
You're stealing from me. My icon.
Yeah, I feel like... That's got to be up there, surely. Yeah. Or Princess Peach, you know. I'll go Princess Peach.
Oh, I love that. Well, we're going to create our own female character right now.
Oh,
in 2026, here on The Lobby. We're going to go through names first, right? So I've got a little, like, what's your female character video game name from your birthday and your birth month. So Affinity, we get to choose one name out of the bunch here, right?
Okay.
So whichever one you think is the best. We've got Wonder Horse.
Next.
Juppy, yours would be Silver Nightmare.
That's quite sick.
Yeah, as a female gaming character, right? Kale, Gold Spirit.
Yeah, I could work with that.
I don't like mine. Crimson Dream. So we need one name from that bunch. We've got Wonder Horse, Silver Nightmare, Gold Spirit, Crimson Dream, which just sounds weird.
Crimson Dream is the easiest to make a superhero. Golden Spirit could go either way. Yeah. It could be like a hero, or it could be like something
silver
nature-y.
What? Is it?
Silver Nightmare.
Silver Nightmare.
Well, I mean, as our guest, Kale, do you want to choose a name? You can choose your own.
Oh,
by
don't
all
give
means.
Me the pressure.
But as you do that, you've got to pick a name. I'm going to give you like a topic, and you need to write something underneath it. You may have more than one. You've got to write down our character's special ability.
Okay. Wait, which name do we go with? We'll go Silver Nightmare. Okay.
Silver Nightmare.
Main weapon for you, Kale. Animal sidekick, Jonah.
Animal sidekick.
You've got to write down
one question.
Yeah, anything.
Is on like the personality alignment, like chaotic good.
Oh, whatever you want.
Are we leaning with this? Before
I mean, write down a few ideas if you want, and then when we go around the group. Someone's got to have two though. Main weapon and weakness. And I'm going to. Oh no, I don't want this one. I don't want this one. What's yours? I think you'll be really good at that. Most common phrase, like character phrase.
No, you've given this to the person who's chronically online. Most common phrase, the temptation to write, it's Morbin time. It's unparalleled.
Right, so have you all got something written down?
I've got a few options.
Okay, well, no, as you hear them, we'll just pick, you know, just pick one, okay? So the female gaming character that we are creating right here, right now, is called...
Silver Nightmare.
Silver Nightmare. Okay. Let's hear Silver Nightmare's special ability. Oh, no, that means I start. Really sorry. Silver Nightmare's special ability is that she becomes invisible when farting or burping.
Okay, we've got a very different
vibe. Different vibe.
I'd be invisible all the time, bro.
Yeah.
Oh no! I just don't know what I just didn't overthink it, and that was the first thing that came to mind. I was like, invisibility, but that's boring. What's she got to do?
My missus will never see me again.
So, Silver Nightmare's special ability is being invisible when farting or burping, and her ultimate weapon is
the Scythe of Nyx.
Yes,
yeah, vibes. Cool.
I'm a huge Scythe fan. Yeah, Anytime that I can have a Scythe in game,
that's not psychopathic at all. Psycho when you need it.
For the goddess of the darkness and the night, Nyx.
Exactly.
But to accompany Silver Nightmare, her animal sidekick is
one of three options: either a silverfish from Minecraft.
From Minecraft, okay.
Specifically the boxy one.
Yeah, the boxy one. That's it. A silver fox.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's cool.
Or an armadillo with an armor that's made of silver.
I like that.
Oh,
actually.
Armadillo.
Yeah. I think 100%. The armadillo.
Yeah. And does she have a weakness?
She does. I'm just going to say their own nightmares because they keep doing this to other people.
And then that's edgy and I love it.
Edgy. It's a bit edgy, a bit dark. Okay. A bit fade.
Yeah.
Right, and the most common phrase of Silver Nightmare is...
I didn't go too silly with it. I figured that, based on this. So are we going to address that?
I like it. It's serious. I like it.
Just
powerful.
Like things happen, and it's one of those, like...
No, I can imagine that in a video game.
Especially given the ability, I think this has gone a little bit ironic. So we go to address that.
No, but you can imagine now, can't you? Silver Nightmare with a silver armadillo walking around in a video game going, are we going to address that?
Yeah.
I like it. It's
good.
With
a scythe in hand.
Yeah, I was going to say, their ultimate makes them actually scary. They're just like chilling.
Walking along.
And then suddenly, darkness. Very cool.
That was interesting. Thank you. I'm sorry. It's just a little bit of fun.
Mm-hmm. Silver You're bonkers. Nightmare.
You're bonkers. Don't blame me. Right. Okay. Well, look. Easy Garlic Kale.
Yes.
Thank you for coming on to
absolutely
the lobby.
Sorry, I was clocked out.
And I never asked you this earlier. Actually, forgive me. The Flying Nightingales. Where did that come from? Because we've gone through sort of the origins of all names today.
Yeah. The Flying Nightingales are a group of women. They were the first women to officially see combat, as in approved by the government to go out and see combat during the World Wars. They are medics. And they flew out in the Douglas aircraft and brought back people. And they were named the Flying Nightingales, like Florence Nightingale. And that's where it came from. Now, I wanted to pick someone iconic and often overlooked, because if you go to any museum, very recently they only just started being recognised, which is crazy. So I wanted to pick them and go with them. I didn't want to go something too RAF, so to throw it out there, although it says flying, they were army.
Oh.
And then they became RAF.
Yeah, but the RAF did originate from the army, so it does make sense.
Yeah, they ended up becoming the WAF. They were before the WAF, just before. So it is a
Can
little
I just
bit of a
shout
mix.
Navy, because we haven't mentioned them for a while.
Navy. Who are also welcome.
Yes, good. Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, so that's the name origin. And then it kind of just came from the fact that every event I went to with RAF Esports, no fault to their own, but I was one of maybe two women or just on my own. And I was like, where are all the girls at?
About the same sum total of women you see at events.
Pretty much, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, look, there's 10 of us out of hundreds. And I'm like, you know what? That's not cool. So I'm going to start bringing more women. And I did a poll and I worked with the British Esports Foundation. British Federation. Esports Federation, that's the word. And I spoke to them and I spoke to other people about what do you want? And they basically said a safe space that we could start getting into games. Because there's a lot of people that don't get into games because they don't want the backlash of not being very good. So most of it is, yeah, this is a judgment-free zone. Come be a newbie. And if you get good and confident enough, we can join the RAF's leagues, the Army's leagues and stuff like that. Or we can just stay here in our nice little group and we can do our own thing. So it's about building confidence is the majority, the reason why it exists.
So anybody listening to this who goes, oh, I need to be a part of this.
Yeah.
How do they get in touch?
Well, they can reach out to me directly. You've heard my last name. I'm the only one on the system if you are working in the MOD, so I'm easy to find. And if not, you can reach out. We do have a social media page now, the Flying Nanny Girls. If you type it up, we'll come up. You can join our Discord if you are in a RAF, Army or Navy already. I've sent out the links, so they should be going up for search. For I believe the Pro League have also mentioned it, and the Veterans Gaming Club have also mentioned it. So the link can be found somewhere. You can also reach out on social media. We have a TikTok and an Instagram, or you can reach my personal page. Again, easy to find. Only one with this last name, like ever.
Well, look, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the lobby. Because obviously last year we had to do it like over the interweb and everything.
I know.
Cringe.
What? So we're doing this again next year? Making this a yearly thing?
An annual thing.
Yeah, well, it's right near Pride, like the actual London Pride. So I can easily come down and do it if this is a thing.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. That's the one.
Absolutely. And look, looking ahead to next week, we are going to be League of Legends focused. Is that right?
Lol. Yes. League of Legends.
Okay, am I allowed to say that we're going to be LOL focused?
LOL. Yes, we will be LOL focused. Yes.
So obviously just talk us through, because F125 is kaput now going into the second split, what's it looking like for you guys as we go into the second split?
Don't worry, busier. We're still flat out, if not busier. Yeah, yep. We've got twice the amount of work now. However, our in-person events, should we say, are reducing. As this podcast airs, this weekend we will be at Aldershot Armed Forces Day. So make sure if you're there, come and say hi if you're from the big Gary at Aldershot. It's going to be a good event. Myself, Lena, and a few of the Army guys are going to be over there, along with the rest of the BFPS fam, are going to be over that way doing some fun stuff with our sim rig. So make sure you come and say hi. But after that, we've got another event, and then we're finally into the deep, dark depths of LOL and Rocket League.
So can you give us a date? I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot there. So we've got Rocket League, League of Legends. They're not both happening on a Monday, but for anybody who, for example, wants to take part, we know where to go, but remind us again where we can find all the details for the days that this is going to be happening.
So all the dates and all the information you need to get signed up are at bfbsesports.com.
That was so
very well
like
practiced.
Back
yes.
to you. No,
yeah. No, he stands in the mirror just reciting that one line.
That was TV advert through and through. That was very good.
I'm proud of you.
Oh, and also Discord, Twitch. Come on, Jonah. Why am I telling you what to say?
The Discord is discord.gg/BFBS Esports. Or you can follow us at BFBS Esports on all socials.
Is there anything else to plug? Oh, yeah, the patches.
The patches. If you want to send us a patch in, the address, I'm sure, will be in the description, as also on screen now. So make sure you send us a patch in. We've got a few more coming, courtesy of the lovely Kale and also Rob, who went to the Rocket League competition for the Armed Forces in Utrecht.
Go on, you can do it.
The Allied Forces Rocket League Invitational
Entrepreneur
game thing. Also, well done to the RAF for coming second there. Well
Congratulations, guys.
Yes.
We've got a patch coming from that as well. But also, please send them in. We want to fill this up as quickly as we can. And if you've got posters and stuff like that, we'll take those as well.
There's also, you know, four walls. So, you know, if you all really want to go trigger happy.
Should I get like a really big 51 Regiment one? Just put it right over.
Everything.
Yeah.
All I heard then was give us free stuff. Lots of free stuff.
Do you have patches to give back to people? Or are we not there yet?
Not yet. Okay. Although, coming soon, TM.
Ooh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very exciting news.
Anyway. Right. Is that a wrap? I don't want this to end right now.
I can wrap if you like.
No, maybe right. Not. Okay, thank you very much for listening this week. We will be back with you next week on
The Lobby!